Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys will get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well, good evening. Welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network Blog Talk Radio Show. And I am your host, M.H. Scott. And as always, I have to say it each and every time, folks, we're going to promise you another wonderful, wonderful show. As always, we're going to promise you a show that's going to have information that you're going to need to take some notes on. It's not an optional thing. If you want to learn something and you want to understand this recruiting business and understand all aspects of it, you're going to at some point in time have to take some notes and be involved and be engaged in the process. But you know, I can't go without doing a little piece for my man, Mr. Keith Wright, University of Harvard grad, played up there, I believe it was 2008, 2009, 2010, and graduated in 2011. Played up there, played some basketball. Now he's overseas doing his own thing and having a good time and enjoying it. But as always, I'm going to bring up my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and we're going to go from there, folks.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Like I said, that's my man Keith Wright, and, you know, that little piece sets home with me and folks of the Parents Coaching Parents Network each and every time we hear it, because Keith says he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And that in itself is a wonderful thing to understand. Oh, okay, well, like I said, we're going to talk about some things, so... You need to go ahead and grab that paper and pencil and pen and get ready to take some very copious notes here, because this information you may or may not have heard before. This information will open up a lot of your eyes to something else that's going on out here in the recruiting world. You know, because oftentimes we get that high press and that feeling. And, you know, that feel-good thing going on, what's going on with the NCAA, the big, you know, the big programs in the NCAA, and that's all we hear. And some of us eat, sleep, live, dream, breathe NCAA and some of these major schools around the country. But how many times have you sat down and thought about an NAIA program? How many times have you looked at NAIA as being the school of choice for your child? How many times have your child looked at an NAIA school? Even more of a question, if you ask your child to name at least two or three NAIA schools, would he or she be able to name any NAIA schools? And we're talking about the National Association for Intercollegiate Athletics. National Association for Intercollegiate Athletics. And I believe I got that terminology right. But the gentleman that we have on here today with us is going to share some information with us. And I'm going to play a little piece, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go straight to the coach.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Hey, if I hit you with a bit much during that last piece, I will be playing it again later on in the broadcast. But right now, we want to get to our guest because we want to make sure that you get all this information. So if you haven't had a chance to get your paper and pencil out, too late, because we're going to move forward here. And if you want to call in, you have some questions for our guest this evening, you can always give us a call at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Well, we're going to bring in our guest. And our guest has been in the program, you know, been out there for a while and has done a number of things. And I went back and I tried to look at some of his information and found out that he's been very successful out there in the world of college sports. But I'm going to let him tell us a little bit about that and just a little bit about himself. I'm talking about Coach Michael Cheney from the University of Auburn, Montgomery. Coach, you on with us?
How you doing there, Mr. Scott?
What's going on, sir?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing just great, doing just great. Give us a little information about yourself, a little background on you so we know who we're talking to and what you're going to be talking about.
I'm Coach Cheney from Auburn University Montgomery here in Montgomery, Alabama. I'm originally from Evansville, Indiana. I've been in the coaching profession about 15 years now, and I've been doing a real good job and have took some teams to the national tournament here in the NAIA, and I'm very proud and happy to be here at Auburn University Montgomery now.
Okay, how long have you been there?
I've been here for about 2 months now.
So this is a
new challenge for me. So, Auburn University Montgomery is a great institution, great academics, and definitely is a real good school as far as athletic programs.
Well, I think I came across a glimpse of a success story that you recently had at some other school. If I'm not mistaken, that was you. Had up a national banner or something like that?
Yes, at my previous school, Voorhees College, which is located in Denmark, South Carolina, one of our oldest historical black colleges, and was there for 4 years and had a lot of success, and I'm hoping to continue that here at Auburn University Montgomery.
Well, I'm quite sure winners are winners, and no matter what, they know how to win, and when they start winning, they win big. So I'm quite sure you're going to have plenty of success, at Auburn, University of Montgomery. Put all that together for me one more time, because I keep getting it mixed up with some other school, and I don't want to do that. I want to make sure we get the right information out there.
Auburn University at Montgomery.
Auburn University at Montgomery. Okay. Y'all hear that, yes, folks? Write that down. Make sure you got it correctly. Auburn University at Montgomery. A-U-M. A-U-M. Auburn University at Montgomery. Well, Coach, you know, we're gonna dig right into this thing because I know these folks out here and they biting at the chop to try to find out some information. And I opened up with that little piece about what NAIA schools are all about. But we want to know about the recruiting aspect. Is the recruiting aspect at an NAIA school the same as the recruiting aspect at an NCAA school?
No. Our recruiting is a little different, Mr. Scott, because, you know, the NCAA, you know, has the open and dead period where there's certain times they can evaluate and talk to kids, whereas NAIA, we pretty much can contact and speak to kids and go out and watch kids play pretty much on a day-to-day basis pretty much all year long.
Okay. Yeah, because I know with the NCAA, you know, they got their rules and their requirements, and, you know, just like you said, they got their different periods, their dead period and quiet period and contact period and evaluation period and all that other kind of stuff. So in other words, like say for example, I had a tournament this weekend. We know the NCAA is quiet right now. So you would have been right, able to come out to an event this weekend and observe some kids.
And that is exactly right. As long as I do the proper paperwork at my institution here and make sure that, you know, I put in the request to go out to look at some kids, then I'm able to pretty much go freely to look at, you know, student athletes year round.
Oh, okay. So, parents, hey, you want to take advantage of that. You definitely want to take advantage of that. You know, how do you get information about different kids?
Well, we're pretty much,
you know,
just like
if a kid. Go ahead. No, if a young man is interested. Okay, I'm going to stop you. Go ahead, Coach.
Well, we're pretty much like any coach. You know, we pretty much, you know, we're evaluating kids. We're looking at film. You know, we do contact, you know, different high school coaches. And, you know, the AAU circuit is so big now. You know, you have different AAU coaches in different states that, you know, sometimes might call us about a kid. A lot of times we do receive a lot of video from different parents, high school coaches, international kids, just for us to look at. So, you know, we have probably a broad and more as far as a database, as far as different variety of student athletes to look at.
Okay. And see, that's a great thing. Parents, I'm telling you, if you're not jotting this information down, or if you're not taking advantage of it, or if you're not trying to figure out what schools are in your area or what schools your child may be considering, you're missing the mark. You're missing the opportunity. I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you firsthand, because it sounds like what the coach is saying right now, how many of our kids miss out on opportunity because they have to wait for these different time periods. They have to wait for these different events to come around for these NCAA coaches to be out there, whereas coming from an NAIA program, that window is open just about all year round. All year round. And we need to take the advantage of that. If you haven't taken advantage of that, then you need to take the advantage of that. You know, in a situation like I tell the parents all the time, Coach, I tell them, you know, to, hey, if you got a copy of your schedule and you know you got a couple different events that you're going to be attending and you want to get the coach out there or something, hey, send him an email and put a copy of that schedule in there, because that may be an event that he may be attending. So he may be get a chance to walk on over there and see, you know, what your game look like. So,
exactly.
You know, how many different sports do NAIA – no, let's sidetrack that, because I have something on here that I want to also touch on. I came across something about a visit to campus and a tryout. How does that work?
Well, as far as campus visits, once again, we're kind of different from NCAA. There are no limits on the number of visits you can make at an NAIA institution. But however, no part of your travel expenses, meals, or lodging may be paid by the institution, unless such as, you know, a practice or maybe an institution general policy as far as recruiting a special talent, which, you know, in this case would be men's basketball. When it comes to recruiting and bringing them on visits, you know, we must have a transcript. We must have a copy of a most recent physical. A lot of times, you know, a lot of institutions require them to already be a member or enrolled in the clearinghouse, which is the NAIA clearinghouse. And just for, you know, injuries, you know, we make sure they sign a waiver. And a lot of times we like to have a copy of the parents', you know, insurance information just to make sure, you know, there's no injuries or, you know, anything that can possibly happen.
Okay, okay. Did y'all get all that, parents? Did you get all that? If you didn't get it, you want to call in and ask the coach a question, give us a call at 917-889-8095. I'll say it again, 917-889-8095. Now, we know the NCAA offers scholarships and at the Division I, Division II level, Division III has some form of financial aid to help offset the cost for a child attending that school.
Right.
What does the NAIA have? Is it the same thing? Do they have grants? Do they have loans? Do they have financial aid packages, scholarships? What do we have?
Well, Mr. Scott, pretty much most institutions, and all of them kind of vary. You know, some of them are, you know, you have state institutions, you have private institutions. You know, here at AUM, one of the great things is, you know, we do offer scholarships. You know, I've worked at other institutions that are private where you have to use more of your grants and loans to try to, you know, accommodate a package, financial aid package, to make it worth the kids' while. But here at AUM, we do offer scholarships, which is a great thing.
Okay. You offer scholarships. So that scholarship may cover what? Just out of curiosity.
Mainly our scholarships will cover room and board, tuition, and meals, and, you know, some of the, you know, miscellaneous expenses, you know, as far as, you know, some of your one-time fees, you know, getting in, which is kind of your et cetera miscellaneous fees, we call them. But
okay.
Pretty much everything. Books can even be included, so pretty much we are able to cover almost up to everything as far as a kid coming in and participating in athletics.
Parents, again, you're not listening. You're not listening. This man just opened up the door for you. He just gave you some information that you normally may not hear coming from the NCAA, because you know the NCAA is under pressure right now. NCAA is out here generating money hand over fist and having a hard time making sure that these kids are getting a full opportunity to pursue their education. Here it is at the NAIA, similar program, smaller scale, but you're talking about a situation where if the child does receive a scholarship, then that scholarship may cover everything in the fold. And everything, let's be realistic. We're talking about room, board, books, incidentals, meals. You know, we all talk about a meal plan, right, Coach?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure because, you know, how that young man from University of Connecticut mentioned that he didn't have enough to eat. So all of a sudden now everybody's up and roar over meal plans. But
I understand.
We are talking about the meal plan. And parents, if you're not getting a chance to get this information down, you can always listen to later on version of the show, and it'll definitely help you out. Now, talking about scholarships, talking about the whole process, looking at something that also comes up when we start talking about the scholarships and all that kind of stuff, letters of intent. How does a letter of intent come into play when we're talking about a scholarship or a potential prospect?
Well, most schools in NAIA, the letter of intent is really not recognized. But, Mr. Scott, there is, however, some conferences and some individual institutions that do choose to honor the letter of intent. So there are some situations, just like AUM, which, you know, we do use a letter of intent that can be honored and recognized, but there are some NAIA institutions that do not recognize or honor that letter of intent.
Okay. And see, that's something. There's a whole lot of things, folks, I'm learning for the very first time. So we here at the Parents Coach to Parents Network, if we're picking it up for the very first time, trust me, I know quite a few of you are still out there scratching your head and trying to write down as much information. Let's hit this million-dollar question, Coach, What is the requirement to be a freshman and to be eligible to play at an NAIA school?
The good thing about the NAIA school, you must meet two of the three requirements. Number one would be your test score. If you achieve a minimum of an 18 on the ACT or 860 on the SAT. Number two, achieve a minimum overall high school GPA of 2.0 or better on a 4.0 scale. Number three, graduate in the top half of your high school class. If you meet two of those requirements, then you're eligible to participate in NAIA.
Coach, I need you to go through that one more time.
Okay. Number one, achieve a minimum of 18 on the ACT or 860 on the SAT. Number two, achieve a minimum overall high school grade point average of 2.0 on a 4.0 scale. Number three, graduate in the top half of your high school class. If you meet two of the three, you're eligible to participate in NAIA.
Wow. Okay. So now we're going to talk hypothetical real quick, because what you just said kind of drew a question in my mind. Okay. So if I'm in the top half of my high school class and I got a 18 on the ACT, that makes me eligible.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Now, that tells me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that I don't necessarily have to have a 2.0.
And once again, that is based upon the institution. Now, some institutions, you have to have a 2.0 to be admitted into school. Some institutions have more of an open enrollment where that might not be the case. But most institutions, you will need that 2.0. And really, to meet the two out of the three, most of the times, Mr. Scott, I normally see the kids have the GPA and the graduation as far as the top half, but a lot of them do not have that test score.
Okay. All right, friends, I had to make sure that the coach cleared that up for you, because I don't want y'all salivating thinking that coach just said he didn't have to have a 2.0. And as long as he's in the top half of the class, and got at least an 18 on the ACT, then he can get in. Okay. But he just cleared that up for you, folks. Let's make sure, because we also have to consider the admissions department and their requirements. Am I correct, Coach?
Yes, we do, because here at AUM, you know, we require a 2.3.
There we go. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we require a 2.3 and an 18 on the test, 860, and a top half of the high school graduation class.
Okay. Well, let me step out of the box real quick and ask this question, because I know some of my listeners out there is in this situation and may even have this question. how is a homeschool child considered?
NAIA has a different format for the homeschool child. There is some documentation that once they're going through the clearinghouse that NAIA will ask for, and some of those documentations will be looked at the NAIA office, and then they will make the determination based off, some of the homeschooling, I guess, tests as far as some of the things they've done, if the kid has met the requirements satisfactory to the NAIA. So those documentations are normally sent directly to the NAIA clearinghouse.
Okay. All right. If you want to call in, you have a question for the coach, you can reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. If you do have a question, press option 1, and that'll let me know that you have a question. If you don't have a question, don't worry about pressing option 1, and that won't light up on my switchboard here, and therefore I know not to try to chime in on you and see what's going on. Coach, we're going to step away and come back here in about 45 seconds, but I want the folks to listen to something else, and then we're going to come back and get to some of these questions.
Okay.
NAIA Athletic Showcase is a new event for us. We're launching it in Peoria, Illinois in June, I believe June 21st and 22nd. It's an opportunity for high school student athletes to come in and basically show their athletic ability to NAIA coaches. We'll have head coaches in the sports of football, men's and women's soccer, baseball, and softball. And so a student athlete can show up, be able to run through some tests, through some drills in some sports, actually be able to play, and those coaches will be there and decide whether they want to award an athletic scholarship or recruit that student athlete into the future.
Well, folks, we've been listening to Coach Cheney from AUM, and that's Auburn University at Montgomery. And he's definitely been sharing some information with us and opened up my eyes to a whole lot of things that's going on out there in the world of NAIA schools. The NAIA, as you listen to what's going on and listening to the broadcast, they have somewhat of a different setup and different requirements for our child to become eligible and participate in their program. Let me make sure I didn't drop the coach here and find out if he's still on the line with us. Coach, you still on the line with us?
I'm here, Mr. Scott.
Okay. Now, that little piece that I just played talked about some kind of showcase. Is that something that's going on at your institution also? And if so, can you explain a little bit of it?
The showcase, we don't have it here at our school pretty much, Mr. Scott, because since I got in so late, I didn't have a chance to pretty much put together a showcase with pretty much kids coming in and displaying their talent. And just because, you know, I knew trying to get kids to get the paperwork as far as transcript and applying for the clearinghouse and bringing their insurance paper, I knew that would be a lot of such a short notice of time. So unfortunately this year we wasn't able to do it.
All right. Well, that's a great thing. But it sounds like it's going to be something that's going to be very interesting. And parents, if you had a chance to listen to it, if not, go back and listen to it again. They're talking about a showcase where our children will be able to go to that institution, that member of the institution, and basically, you know, have a little showcase weekend or showcase tryout or something of that nature. Hey, Coach, we're going to step out and try to pick up some of these phone calls because it looks like someone's online with us and have a question.
Okay.
If you're all right with that, we're going to move right along. Area code 813. Area code 813. You're on the line with the Parents Coach, the Parents Network. How are you?
Hi, it's Annette. How you doing, Scott, Mike? It's Annette. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes, we sure can. Did you
have
a question, ma'am?
I did. Okay. I had a question about the highlight videos. Do you prefer CDs or USB drives when you're looking at prospective recruits?
I prefer CDs, and I'm sure a lot of coaches will feel the same. A lot of us coaches, you know, most of the times kids send up the highlight reels, and a lot of times we would prefer a CD where you're actually sending a game tape of an actual game. Because a lot of us coaches can just, you know, we can look at the film and kind of just, you know, see how he moves, see how he understands the game. Whereas a lot of kids, you know, they'll just send us their top five highlights, and once they get to campus, maybe for a workout, they're not as good as their highlight looked like. So we actually a lot of times like to see the actual game footage.
How many minutes of game?
I tell a lot of parents if they can maybe just the first half of a game or second half, whatever is the best, and then maybe put some highlight clips or individual clips. I'd rather look at something like that just to give a big general idea of how he looks.
Okay. And then
you may be looking.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Annette.
Oh, go ahead. Finish your sentence.
Oh, no, I say he may be looking at film all day long.
Yes.
Well, probably easier than doing a road trip, right?
Yes, it is. You know, road trips do get expensive sometimes, so it is a lot easier sometimes.
And then I was just curious, just to piggyback off what you said, I think I understand it now. When you're talking about campus tryout, you're really talking about a showcase, not really a tryout, right?
In my case, it would be more of a tryout.
Okay, how does that work?
A lot of times we will have a date. A lot of student athletes will call us, and, you know, pretty much the institution will set up a date, and we'll call a lot of the parents or kids or high school coaches that have called us in the interest of a kid, and we'll set up one date, maybe a weekend, a Friday or Saturday, and we'll try to invite as many kids in possible as long as they have the proper paperwork and things, to, you know, just to make sure everyone's cleared.
So you just come in and work out for a weekend, and then you guys just watch how the players interact and what their skill level is and all that.
And a lot of it, yep, and a lot of it is just like, you know, the commercial said, we'll take them through a series of drills and really work them out. And at the same time, you know, if there's enough kids at that workout, then, you know, we'll let them kind of play five-on-five. And then, you know, we'll take our notes, and we know some kids have traveled from a long way, so they might not have played well their first day. And, you know, normally we'll try to bring them back in the next day just to see, you know, who maybe didn't get enough sleep or who was driving in the car, and maybe they'll play better the second day.
Is that the same thing as recruit visit weekend, or just is it something a little different?
No, it's a little different because it's not necessarily called recruit visit weekend. Here at AUM, you know, we have several orientation weekends where the kids come in and see the campus and sit down with their counselors and get their classes and meet with financial aid. That would be more of a recruiting visit for us because we would have more of an itinerary of different things that they need to do and different people they need to meet.
Okay. Great. Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank
you, Mike.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining in on the conversation.
Oh, great.
You know, that's some great information that you shared with us, Coach. And parents, what I think we really and truly need to be aware of, we're talking about a whole slew of different sports out there for your children. We're talking about baseball. We're talking about basketball. We're talking about at a Division I and a Division II level. We're talking about cross-country, football, golf, indoor and outdoor track, soccer, swimming, tennis, wrestling. Let me see what else we got here. Softball, volleyball, even bowling, men and women bowling, competition, cheering, and dance. So we're talking about quite a few different activities that our children can get involved in. And the majority of the time, our children are involved in it anyway. So why not consider, why not look at, why not seriously put a NAIA institution on your list and go out there and check it out and see. you know, the best thing about it, and Coach, I need some clarification on it. You know, the individuals that you invite out to the tryout or showcase or whatever name we want to put on it, them are individuals that have seriously showed some type of interest in your institution?
Some of them are, and some of them are just, you know, student-athletes that we have maybe followed or seen film on that we're interested in.
Okay.
And just to piggyback off what you said, Mr. Scott, a few seconds ago, here at AUM, four of our sports were in the top five this year in the national rankings. Our softball team won a national championship. They was ranked number one. Our men's soccer was number two in the country. Our men's tennis was number three in the country. Our women's tennis was number five in the country. Our tennis here at AUM, there's been 11 straight years of one or more national championships. So it's definitely a good experience.
Okay. And folks, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the show page. I got a couple of those pictures up there as well as the championships that they received in, a couple of the teams received in 2013. So you get a chance to take a look at the show page. If you're listening to us via your phone, take a look at the show page. You'll see those teams in action. Hey, you want to call in, give us a call. You have any questions for the coach, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. Coach, we're going to go back to a couple more of these questions here, and then we're going to start to prepare to wind down a little bit, if that's okay with you, because I'm not trying to keep you on too long. You know, I like the information that you're sharing, and hopefully you'll be able to join us again on a future show.
Definitely.
Okay. Do you have to necessarily attend high school that's here in the U.S. to be eligible for lead?
No, you don't. Here at AUM, we've had a, like I was sharing with you, some of the teams that have been ranked in the national rankings, and a lot of those teams, and the coaches have done a real good job of recruiting international students. You know, the paperwork is, you know, probably, you know, you got to get a lot more I-20 and different things for the international students. But, you know, in the clearinghouse, they also have a part where international kids are welcome to get cleared and be able to also participate in NAIA.
Okay. Well, parents, we're sitting here, we're talking about an NAIA program, and you're hearing all these great things that the coach is sharing with us, which is great. And I know quite a few of you are starting to look up some of the NAIA schools. And, you know, if you call in, you have a question, and you want to know what schools are in your area, I have a complete list right here in front of me. And I sent one out earlier this week on my Facebook page, and I think I also tweeted a link to one as well. On PCP Network. But when we're talking about these different schools, Coach, and talking to some of the parents out here, and, you know, their kids get to the point where they want to transfer from one school to another school, is there a special criteria if they're transferring from an NCAA school to an NAIA institution?
There are some certain criteria. Most students that are transferring from, you know, bigger schools coming down to NAIA, you know, we're hoping that most of them have been enrolled in 12 hours each semester, which at the end of the year would give them a total of 24 hours. We're hoping also that, you know, they're going to also have a 2.0 GPA from their previous school. But I think the biggest thing that we really look forward to is we must have a written release from the athletic department of their most recent school. And then, you know, we kind of send, once we get that release, which gives us kind of permission to talk to the student athlete, we send normally a tracker, a tracer, which will kind of goes to the previous school just to ask certain questions of, you know, hoping that, you know, he hasn't been in no trouble, and because, you know, NAIA is real big as far as the champion of character. So, you know, we just want to make sure that from that previous institution that, you know, there hasn't been any problems or any bills owed or anything that he's done as far as which has caused him possibly thinking about transferring.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. That sounds like somebody's trying to jump in the getaway car and get out of there. But, yeah, we definitely want to avoid that. We definitely want to avoid that. You know, we're going to take a little break here and step away, and then we're going to come back, wrap it up with a few more questions, and hopefully we'll have some callers call in that have some questions. If not, definitely we're going to share some more information with them. So get your pen, pad, paper, and pencil ready to continue on with your notes. We're going to take a little break there, Coach.
All right.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Athletic Showcase is a new event for us. We're launching it in Peoria, Illinois in June, I believe June 21st and 22nd. It's an opportunity for high school student athletes to come in and basically show their athletic ability to NAIA coaches. We'll have head coaches in the sports of football, men's and women's soccer, baseball, and softball. And so a student athlete can show up, be able to run through some tests, through some drills, and some sports, actually be able to play. And those coaches will be there and decide whether they want to award an athletic scholarship or recruit that student-athlete into the future.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Hopefully you had enough time to grab you something to drink or sharpen your pencil or get you a new pen that's going to write or another piece of paper to continue on with these notes, because the information that the coach has been sharing with us today has been great information. Great information. If you're not familiar with the NAIA system, the NAIA programs, then you make sure that you check out this podcast and share this podcast with others within your circle, because this information will prove to be valuable, just as if you were getting recruited by any other school or institution out there. You know, the other program out there called the NCAA, but a lot of you didn't know and wasn't familiar and not aware of the NAIA, National Association of Intercollegiate Athletes. Okay, NAIA. Well, we're on the line with Coach Mike Cheney from Auburn University at Montgomery. And I have to make sure I take my time and get all that right, because I don't want to mess it up. But the coach has been sharing some great information with us. You know, he covers some of the differences between the recruiting process at NCAA schools compared to NAIA schools. He talked about an event that they have called a tryout or a showcase, or where they get a chance to see some of the kids on the campus, you know, on the campus and going through some drills. And this is kids that they're interested in, or kids that, you know, that may have expressed some type of interest to come to the school and get a little workout in, you know, and things of that nature. Of course, all of that is paid for out of your pocket. That's not something that the coach is going to be willing to take on. That's something that you'll have to pay for out of your pocket. But they'll bring you on, bring you in there, and give you a chance to show your skills or show your talent. And that's a big plus compared to what that other organization is currently doing. Big plus. And that's something that we need to make sure that we keep in mind. You know, one of the big things that he mentioned that we all should have wrote down was that they're able to get out there and recruit and evaluate kids basically all year round. There's no quiet period, dead period, evaluation period, contact period, all that old kind of stuff. That's basically a non-existent situation in the NAIA program. So that in itself is enough to let us know that, hey, this is something that we really and truly need to look at. Give us a call this evening at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. And if you're calling from anywhere around the country and you want to know if there's any NAIA institutions in your area, please ask that question and I'll check it out and ask your question to the coach. And by the time you get done talking to the coach, hopefully I'll be able to find your answer for you. Well, we're going to go back to Coach Cheney and make sure he's still on the line with us. Coach, are you out there?
I'm here, Mr. Scott.
Okay. Well, if we don't have any more questions going on, I'm going to continue to ask them because I know I still have a couple more. How long can individuals normally compete at the NAIA institution?
Okay, good question. In the NAIA, a season of competition is counted when you participate in one or more intercollegiate contests. Now, they also look at the semesters. So you're also allowed 4 seasons of competition within the first 10 semesters. If you're on a quarter system, the first 15 quarters that you can play collegiate basketball.
So, okay, Coach, I'm going to need you to break that down in layman's term for me.
Okay.
Now, you said semester. So a semester it would run from, like, August through the end of January? Is that the time frame we're talking about?
Yes, that would.
And then
that
the second semester may run from the end of January through May or whatever time period that is?
Yes.
Am I correct?
In 1 year, that would be what you just used as an example would be 2 semesters. So they have a total of 10 semesters to complete 4 seasons of playing.
Okay. So they have a total of 10 semesters. So what happens if I drop out after my second year, after my 4th semester? You know, I take a little hiatus, or I can't afford it, or I have to stay home and take care of an elderly family member or something of that nature, you know, and I step out for a year. When I come back, do I still have, I've already completed 4 semesters. Do I still have 6 semesters and 2 more seasons to play?
As long as you have not enrolled in any institution full-time as far as taking classes.
Okay, full-time. So I could have went to a community college as a part-time student because you know, I have to stay home and take care of my grandmama or whoever. But I still want to make sure I maintain the books, so I'm just a part-time student, so I can come back to an NAIA institution and right. continue on where I left off.
Exactly.
All right, all right. Well, hey, that sounds like another one of those win-win situations, parents. I'm telling you, if you're not getting this information, you're definitely missing the mark. You know, I hate to say it, but it sounds like getting into an NAIA school is a lot less complicated than trying to get into an NCAA institution, you know, because you go through all the rigmarole with the NCAA, and then, you know, you go through all this other stuff as far as the recruiting process and all these other elements that go on around here. All right. I'm going to look like we got another caller that has a question. Let me see if I can get this caller on the line with us.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Hey. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Area code 75741. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Did you have a question for the coach?
Yeah, I do. My name is Melvin Brown, and I'm looking at the members' schools, and I'm looking at the women's sports, and I don't see field hockey up here. Now, how would you go about getting a sport in the NAIA that's not here already? And then my second question is, I'm looking at the cheer and competitive cheer and dance. Is there scholarships that they offer for that, or how does that work?
And that's for the cheerleaders, or you're referring more dance team?
Well, I'm just looking at what I see here. Let's say cheerleaders.
Okay. Now, here at AUM, we do not offer scholarships to the cheerleaders. I know some institutions, you know, even though cheerleaders are very important, they're not considered, I guess, under the region of athletic sports. But a second question, as far as you know, adding a sport, they would pretty much would have to go through the athletic director. A lot of those sports that are added, you know, some of them, you know, kind of just start off as just a varsity team, but kind of like more of an intramurals, and, you know, you do the proper paperwork and go through the clearinghouse and try to get, you know, that sport, you know, pretty much sponsored and everything that you have to do to make sure it's legit and compliant to all the NAIA rules.
Okay.
You know, and Melvin, that's similar to what a lot of these high schools are doing when they come across a situation where they have a number of kids that's interested in a sport. You know, they'll start out doing the intramurals, or they'll start out as that sport being just a club, and then they'll
right.
move on from there. You know, because a lot of those clubs are able to go out and participate or, you know, interact with other clubs around that area, you know, just like, you know, I think bowling probably started out that way and a couple others out there. Hopefully you answered all your questions, sir.
Yes, he did.
Okay. We appreciate you calling in this evening, and hopefully you'll stay in and enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, I will.
All right. You know, that was definitely some good questions there, Coach. And, you know, because what happens if you get to, you know, a kid that's interested in attending that school, like the academics at the school, but not necessarily have their particular sport, but, you know, has been an athlete the whole time, you know.
You
all of a sudden have to jump ship and change sports. You know, there may be some ways around that. You know, there may be some considerations in there where that child can still get in or whatever. Now, you mentioned about the I think he kind of doubled up when he asked about the dance team. Now, does the dance team have other stipulations where they have some funding or something available to them?
Well, I know here at AUM, our coach here is pretty animated and really out in the community, and she does a lot of work of you know, as far as fundraising. So she works very very hard and diligently trying to raise some money to make sure, you know, her cheerleaders and dance team is no different than any of the other athletes.
Okay. That's a great thing. Well, I got another one of those million-dollar questions for you, Coach. Now, I'm not trying to put your feet in the fire or anything like that, but, you know, sometimes some of these questions just come around. And
right.
This question kind of sort of jumped in my mind as I was thinking about the situation that happened with old Paul George the other day. And what was it, last year during the NCAA tournament with the young man Kevin Ware? What happens in a situation where an athlete becomes injured and is ineligible or not ineligible or becomes injured and unable to participate? Do they maintain, you know, scholarship, or do they continue to finish out that year? How does all that work?
Okay. The NAIA does have a hardship, which, you know, must be verified, you know, by the medical doctor who treated the, you know, the patient, student, athlete. The injury cannot or occurred in the last regular season contest or during postseason. You cannot have competed in more than a specified number of contests. If you're granted the hardship, though, you restore a season of competition, but it does not restore any terms toward the maximum 10 semesters. So you can receive
okay.
a hardship, but, you know, it gets kind of tricky just based off, you know, what year the kid is. But it's also important that you have the proper documentation from your doctor. And once again, you know, the NAIA Clearinghouse does a great job as far as getting the proper paperwork to them, and they will also review it. And then they're the people that kind of grant the year or say yay or nay.
Okay. And let me see if I can break that down. I normally put that onus back on you, but I'm going to see if I can break that down and get a better understanding of what you just said.
Okay.
If the child suffers an injury and still has eligibility time to play.
Right.
And that injury happened, and we're looking at trying to get this hardship. There's a certain number of games that he or she could have only played in before they grant that additional season of playing time. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to make this simple there, folks. We're going to make this simple. If your child played 3 years, going into the fourth year, getting ready to graduate, played six games into the season, suffered an injury. That injury was verified by the doctor, made it so that the child is unable to complete and finish out the rest of the year. Then that child may be granted a hardship, and correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, may be granted a hardship to play an additional year, providing that he or she has not used up all of their semesters.
Exactly right.
Okay, all right. Boy, I done learned something here today, boy. Stick with me. I'll learn you something. I'll be dangerous in a minute. I'll be dangerous. Watch out now. I'm starting to learn a little something here. All right. Well, Coach, you know, we about to wind down here, and, you know, how does a student athlete or child. That's what we like to refer to them as here, because we don't like to give them that label of student athlete. They are our children. How does my child stay eligible during college?
Stay eligible during college. Good question. Good question. Well, we encourage our kids. They must be enrolled in 12 hours. We also look at their at the end of each term. We're wanting them to have a 2.0, which in my program I try to raise that GPA a little bit higher because we also want to compete for certain academic honors at the end of the year, which, you know, I try to push my kids to be more of 3.0 student athletes because they can win some very prestigious awards with the NAIA being, you know, scholar athletes. So 12 hours each semester, especially their freshman and sophomore year. It doesn't start until they're after their sophomore year going into their junior year, where they must have and must keep a 2.0 GPA to participate.
Okay. All right. So it's not much different than the requirements of the NCAA. You have to still maintain those academics, folks. You still have to maintain those academics. This is not the candy room, and you're not going to be able to just slide on through. You still have to maintain the academics. So make sure you share that with your children. Well, Coach, we're about to wind down here. We've got about another minute or so. Give us something in closing that we didn't talk about, and you'd like to share with us about your institution or your program or something that parents need to know as far as applying to an NAIA program.
Okay. Well, I would say the first and foremost, Mr. Scott, you know, a lot of parents do not know anything about the NAIA Clearinghouse. It's a great, you know, tool for us at NAIA because it really takes us coaches out of the situation of trying to decide if the kid is eligible. Pretty much all the paperwork, they have to go on www.playnaia, create a profile. Most students, student athletes that are interested in any NAIA school, they can go on the NAIA Clearinghouse and create their profile, and they can list the schools that they're interested in. And then as a coach, I will receive an email saying that, you know, Johnny has showed interest in AUM's basketball program, and this is his profile. So it also gives us a kind of a heads up and, you know, more of a recruiting tool because kids have actually went on the Clearinghouse and created their profile and have said they're interested in playing a certain sport for our institution. And us coaches are contacted and we get that information and, you know, that kind of starts the ball as far as recruiting for that student athlete.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, we're going to wind down here, and we'd like to thank you, Coach, for joining us this evening. Folks, he shared information with us that hopefully was an eye-opener and everybody's going to take advantage of. The biggest thing that I heard this evening, or one of the biggest things I heard this evening, I heard quite a bit, is that they're out there, they're able to get out there and evaluate your child all year round. Now, one thing you have to remember, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't have that same big budget that you may see coming from the NCAA school. And what I mean by that, Coach may be in Florida one day and he got a red eye out and he's going to be on the West Coast the next day and then he's going to be back in the Midwest 3 days later, and I hit about six different schools. I don't know if his budget extends out like that. So to your advantage, reach out to him, reach out to any NAIA school within your area, within your scope, or your child's scope, should I say, and make sure you take advantage of it. You know, find out if they're going to have a showcase. Find out if your child is interested in coming out there and showing off his or her talent. Well, Coach, we thank you for joining us this evening. It's been fun. It's been real fun. You know how we say. And, you know, like we like to say here on the Parents Coach, the Parents Network, help us help you. Coach, and you have a great evening, sir.
I appreciate it, Mr. Scott. Thanks again.
All right, we'll talk soon.
All righty.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta...
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
We'll be right back.